Acts chapter 5. This chapter started with a very sad story about confused people. In the last couple of verses of the chapter 4, we see the donation of a Levite. And then, as the opposite of these freely given and willfully offered donations, we find in the beginning of chapter 5 the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I will read a few verses. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Ananias kept back part of the price with the knowledge of his wife, and Ananias brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered to her, tell me whether he sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. As the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is working so abundantly, so wonderfully, and the testimony of the gospel is spreading far and wide, mainly in Jerusalem. However, in so many hearts, so many souls, so many minds are illuminated by the truth of the gospel, and the enemy, the devil, is furious and mad and looking for an opportunity to somehow stop this voice of the truth. And after the threats and the intentions of the leaders, the rulers in Jerusalem, was not successful in stopping the gospel. To the contrary, the gospel is spreading more and more. Satan is trying a new device. In his craftiness, he is going to attack from inside. And so we have this sad story of confused people. This man Ananias and his wife Sapphira believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe they were baptized. I believe they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit working in them and through them to some extent, just as much perhaps as Judas when he was sent among the other 11 apostles to proclaim the gospel as the Lord Jesus Christ sent them. And when they returned back, they said, oh Lord, even the devils, the demons, and evil spirits are subject unto us in thy name. And afterward, silver, pieces of silver were more important than loyal, faithful service to the Lord. And Judas became a traitor. He betrayed his master. Judas betrayed his own soul forever. Ananias and Sapphira yielded to this deception of Satan, and now they are going to be used as instruments to deceive the other people, and hopefully the enemy will succeed in starting a root of bitterness, hypocrisy, deception, vanity. I imagine Ananias and Sapphira watched the others doing wonderful work. They watched some people bringing money and laying it down at the apostles' feet. And they watched these people being admired by the rest of the disciples and appreciated and loved by the rest of the disciples. But now we have to stop and think. Were these two, Ananias and his wife Sapphira, were they loved? Were they appreciated? Were they cherished by the rest of the disciples? I would certainly think so. Otherwise, how could they have been converted, even in their own private way and manner? It's not very easy for me to detect all the dangerous devices that Satan used to confuse the mind and heart of Ananias and his wife. I would think that they felt that they are worthy more respect and more admiration than what they think they received. And so they decided they're going to do something to earn more recognition and to gain more appreciation from the rest of the disciples. It looks like Ananias and Sapphira made a plan. They need to sell this parcel of land or whatever the real estate possession they had, and they need a portion of that money for some other plans than the gospel work and the mutual common fund of all the disciples. So they're going to keep a portion and they're going to give a portion. So far, so good. No problem. If their intentions were pleasing the Lord, no problem. But the problem is in that Ananias and Sapphira wanted to give an impression to the disciples that they are giving all the money that they received from the proceeds of this sale. Why was it necessary to them? Why did they desire something like that? Well, we find that pride, that self-evaluation or self-over-evaluation in many places. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, we can see that pride makes the people deaf to the Gospel. In Luke chapter 10, verse 12, the Lord is talking about the Jews that refuse to hear the Gospel. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And then in the verse number 15, he says, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. In the verse number 17, when the 70 disciples returned back to the Lord with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name, the Lord answered to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. It was very important for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is important today, that all the goodness and the power and all the success is coming from the Lord himself, and we have no credit to ourselves whatsoever. In the verse number 20 of this chapter 10, according to Luke, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What does that mean? How does that correspond, or how does that answer to the verse number 17, when the 70 disciples said, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name? When the Lord is doing something good through me, my joy should not be that he is doing that through me, but that he is doing that. And my greatest joy concerning myself is that for something, some unknown reason, unknown to me, known only to the Lord has put my name in the book of life. So I belong to the Lord, and everything that I have belongs to the Lord. I am part of His property, and I should be His possession. So He is using me, He is working through me. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's wonderful that He is so gracious, merciful, patient to use this poor vessel that I am for His purpose. Only He can do that. So what the Lord is answering to His disciples, be careful, be cautious. Don't take any pride. Be thankful to the Lord that in spite of Himself being infinitely more able to do this work that you are doing, He was gracious enough and loving to allow you to do it and to serve Him. So instead of being proud of myself, I should be humbled with the Lord's goodness and mercy, and should remember what happened to Satan. The Lord is referring here to Satan. He said in the verse number 18, Luke 10, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Destruction or self-destruction through the self-deception and mind pollution is very swift. And the power of the Lord can keep us in His goodness and grace as long as we don't take our own power and put our soul in our own hands. In the prophecies of Isaiah in chapter 14, from the verse number 12 and on, few verses, the Lord is comparing the oppressors of Babylon, the godless rulers that were tyrants, with the devil himself. And obviously the devil had a lot of power in the rulership of these tyrants in Babylon. But from the verse number 12, the Lord is saying about the Lucifer that was even greater than any of these rulers in Babylon, and yet he is fallen. Isaiah 14:12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. That's the judgment against any pride. All the honor, all the glory, all the admiration belong to the Lord. And when we admire one another because of the Lord's goodness and grace we see in one another, the Lord is accepting that as a praise to His name. And because Satan took self-deception, he deceived himself in his pride and his rebellion against the honor and power and majesty that belong to the Most High. Because Satan deceived himself and fell down and became devil, he is now in his fury, in his jealousy, in his envy, in his malignancy, offering that deception to all of the humanity. And Ananias and Sapphira fell into the snare of Satan. In Luke 15, verse 29, the elder son is talking to the father. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Did this elder son ever realize how much pride is in that statement? How much pride that is so much deceiving his mind? And where there is pride, Satan has plenty of room to add more of his poison, and that's envy. As soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Envy, jealousy, evil desires. I wonder about Ananias and Sapphira. They believed the gospel, they believed the fellowship, they believed the recognition among the disciples so much that they were willing to give a portion of their money, and it was not insignificant. It was a good portion of that money. But they did not believe the gospel sufficiently to know that the Lord knows every heart, every mind, and that they should not tempt the Lord by pretending something else before the disciples. They believe that the cause of Christ is worthy of giving, donating, contributing. And they did not believe that Christ is powerful enough, that His Spirit knows everything, and that they should not offend the Spirit of the Lord by deceiving the people, putting a mask on their face and pretending that this is all they got, and really money means nothing to them, they just give it to the Lord. It was not the case. I wonder if the story about Ananias and Sapphira could be compared with the Revelation chapter 3 verse 15 and on, at least to some extent. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye ointment, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How many times the Spirit of the Lord talked to Ananias and Sapphira. How many times they heard the voice of the Lord together? How many times they heard the voice of the Lord, each one in his or her own time? How many times they refused? Now, we might ask a question. Later in the same book, the book of Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 8, verse 14, we read about the apostles which were in Jerusalem, that they heard how Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent unto them Peter and John, who, Peter and John, when they were come down, prayed for them that they, the Samaritans, might receive the Holy Ghost. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now comes the question. And when Simon, the former magician, saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, Simon offered them, the apostles, money, saying, "Give me also this power, sell me this patent, this license, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." He already repented. He already turned around. Perhaps this is not all of his repentance. Perhaps it is. Maybe he was shocked. As much as foolish and light-minded he was before, he could have been just as much shocked with the words of Peter, which were truth, fundamental truth, that the gift of God is not purchased with money nor sold for money. Judas tried to sell the greatest gift of God for money, and he only sold his own soul, and that to the devil himself. As harsh as Peter's answer to Simon was, in the verse 22, Peter says, "Repent." Here is additional opportunity. Turn away from thy wickedness. Turn to the Lord, because he is merciful and gracious, and he will forgive. Why Ananias and Sapphira did not have this additional opportunity? This question is bringing a few thoughts to my mind. First, I don't know how many opportunities they had. I don't know how many hypocrisies in practice they already performed in the past. I don't know how much of undeserved honor and recognition they enjoyed before. And beside all of that, God is not going to condemn any of those whom he has redeemed. He's not going to condemn the soul whose sins the Son of God paid for. So I question the sincerity of Ananias' repentance and conversion. That's one point. The other point that I question is, would Ananias ever sincerely and truly repent if he was given not one more, but many more opportunities? I think that the Lord knows every heart, just as he knows that the young scorpion or rattlesnake will remain scorpion or rattlesnake no matter how long a time that creature was given to live. It will never change. Beside that, the Lord is telling us, be on guard, watch, for ye know not the time when your Lord comes back. So, any moment, any time, he may come back. Either he is coming to gather his elect ones, or I am called back to face him and to give an account What have I done with the great abundance of goodness and mercy of God given to me? There is one more thing that I would like to mention here, and that is that the words of the Apostle Peter, if they were not the words of the Spirit of the Lord, would not have produced anything. If Peter talked to Ananias and Sapphira just as a man talks to a man, they could have lied further. And if he said, well, that's not the truth what you are telling, they could have answered, oh, yes, 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 Peter, you just don't know. But because Peter was not talking of himself, and he was not speaking his own mind, though his mind was in full submission to the will of the Lord and to the voice of God's Spirit. Another thing is rather interesting, very peculiar, that Ananias and Sapphira were craving the admiration of the other disciples so much that they were willing to pay a good portion of money for it. And yet, they did not value that recognition so much that they would give all of the money. Well, if that recognition was not worth all of their money, then for them that recognition is worth as much as they gave. So they shouldn't have pretended as if they were giving all of the money. Hypocrisy, pride, self-deception are so awful, so dangerous, that anyone, no matter how experienced and no matter how spiritual he or she had been at some time, everyone is subject to that snare of Satan if we are not on guard, if we don't follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. That's the problem, and that's the snare of the devil, half and half. So we might conclude that partial obedience to the Lord is total disobedience, and partial faithfulness to the Lord or loyalty to the Lord is total faithlessness and disloyalty. You see, if we imagine ourselves in a battle, in a war, and we are serving a king, and we do everything, we prepare everything, all our armor, all our weapon, ammunition, everything. Now we are ready to serve that king, and as the king said, do this, we do that. And the king said, do this, do that. We just go ahead and do it. And the battle is progressing as the king would desire. And when we come to a crucial moment, we fail and we turn against the king. Would any of the loyalty and faithfulness be accounted for anything? No, we are traitors. So it's very important to follow the Lord wholeheartedly and do His will from the heart, and then in the evening of every day confess to Him our shortcomings, misunderstandings, our insufficiency, our mistakes, our wrongdoing, our disobedience, known or unknown, and ask forgiveness. True meekness, a really humble heart in the Spirit of Christ, is actually looking through the eyes of the Almighty upon this feeble vessel of mine. And when we do that, those that are meek are exalted. Those that are humble are elevated. Those that confess are accepted, embraced with the love and grace of our blessed Redeemer and our Heavenly Father. I think it's quite obvious, quite clear, what was the intention of Satan, the evil spirit, to place a big worm inside the tree of the apostolic fellowship, of the Christian fellowship of the first disciples, to make that fellowship rotten instead of healthy in the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord turned that around, defeated the enemy by this quick and I should say harsh, deserved but harsh sentence against Ananias and Sapphira. The Lord turned that intention of the enemy down and destroyed the device of Satan. We read that right after the death of Ananias in the verse number 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And then again in the verses 10 and 11, Sapphira fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. What was that fear good for? Well, they all were on guard, because this same evil spirit that managed to snare Ananias and Sapphira was working on the others also and trying to get them on that false way, way of hypocrisy and deception and sinful pride. And I think it's not too much if I say even the apostles feared more than before, because this was a stern warning of the Spirit of the Lord against yielding to the temptations of the evil spirit. There is something so mysterious, so much of satanic deception in the minds of the professing disciples that do something they know is not right, is not correct, and yet they cannot resist it or will not resist it. It's so attractive to them. For Ananias and Sapphira, it was the worst possible thing that they be discovered, that their deception become public among the disciples, that all the disciples, or at least a great number of the disciples, find out that Ananias and Sapphira are hypocrites. But now let's stop for a moment and think. They all live in the same general area, in and around the city of Jerusalem. They know the market value of real estate. And how were Ananias and Sapphira able to think that their hypocrisy will remain unknown, that the disciple will just plainly believe whatever Ananias is going to tell them and that's it? Well, it was not it. It was discovered right from the beginning. It was such a transparent lies, if you like. So Ananias and Sapphira are gone. Satan will have to look for some other way of attacking the kingdom of God on this earth, and he will, but the Lord has told us, be on guard. And the verse 11 is giving a confirmation to that warning. Great fear came upon all the church, and that includes the youngest and the eldest and all in between, and as many as heard these things. What does that mean? Beside the godly fear within the church, there was also an echo of godly fear among the unbelievers. which urged, that godly fear urged the unbelievers to repent and be converted and be baptized and be joined with the sincere and faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the verse number 12, I read that by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. The Lord was answering that prayer that the disciples with one heart and mouth uttered in the beginning after the threatenings of the rulers and priests and all Pharisees and so on, elders of the people. And the Lord was performing miracles through his disciples, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. That's part of the building, the temple building. And so there they are in the sight of the priests. And the priests would like to know what's going on, what is the next step that the disciples will take. And they would like to spy on the disciples. They would like to somehow buy another Judas Iscariot that will betray his brethren in this case, at this time, and so on. But what we read here in the verse number 13, of the rest of the people, the unbelievers, durst no man join himself to them. Those that would be spies, those that would be cooperating, collaborating with the enemies, they did not dare mix themselves among the believers. And the general population, the people that were in need of healing, the people that were listening to the preaching of the disciples, the rest of the people magnified the disciples of the Lord, especially the apostles. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, young and old. The number was growing, just like in the days of David, when the Lord finally was transferring the kingdom to David's rulership as the host of the Almighty God. And then we read something very interesting in the verse number 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, people, individuals, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. So it was not the shadow of Peter, it was the faith in Jesus Christ whom Peter preached. And yet, there seemed to be something influencing the minds and the hearts of the new believers, young believers, when they have in their presence, in their nearness, a faithful witness of the Lord. So the disciples were comfort and encouragement to one another, because in all of them there is the Spirit of Christ the Savior. The disciples were an invitation to the others to turn to the Lord and follow the path of salvation and righteousness, the path of the gospel. But not everyone is excited, not everyone is glad and rejoicing in this wonderful, marvelous, amazing grace of God, mercy and goodness of the Almighty, saving, delivering so many people from the power of darkness. There are some hearts and minds that are sold to Satan, and as their God of this world, the evil spirit, the devil, is furious, mad against the truth of the Lord. So are his slaves, and they are just contemplating a moment, an opportunity to attack the disciples of the Lord. So this drama, this battle between the light and the darkness, between the truth and deception, between the Savior and the Destroyer, is going on, and it will continue until the end. May the Lord give us that wisdom and understanding, that eyes of faith to see our Lord's continuous victory until the ultimate triumph in the end. Triumph of the Almighty God and Savior over sin and death, Satan and the world that refused saving grace of our God.